The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this last day of January 2018. Riding shotgun with me today is Michael Herzog from The American Awakening. And he is on this network, ladies and gentlemen, Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. By the way, I've got Mark Anderson waiting in queue. Michael, there's a story I put up on the website about the ExxonMobil guy here, Mr. Okay. Tillerson, that's now our Secretary of State. You mm-hmm. know, isn't it strange that we got a Secretary of State dealing with all these complex problems and, you know, recommending policy for the Middle East, and they bring an oil guy in? But, okay, having said that, he was speaking at the Hoover Institute, and Tillerson laid out the Trump administration's vision for a stable, unified, and independent Syria, free of terrorist threats and free of weapons of mass destruction. I'm sorry. I didn't know Syria had weapons of mass destruction. Isn't that what we said of Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're counting on us losing our memory. Now, such vision sounds a lot like the previous administration said about Iraq and Afghanistan, which should be cause for worry. Afghanistan has become America's longest-running war in our entire history, folks, and we still have troops in Iraq more than a decade after what some supporters that supported the war in Iraq said would be a cakewalk. Moreover, a long-term U.S. military presence in both these countries has not made them stable or unified, and nothing indicates that they will be anytime soon. Nonetheless, Mr. Tillerson made it clear that the United States, and I'm quoting him, the United States will maintain a military presence in Syria that is conditions-based. But why commit to do in Syria what we haven't been able to accomplish in either in Afghanistan or Iraq? There's a good question. Now, the cost of this, Michael? Oh, God. You know, we've turned this country into a police state because these bad guys in the Middle East, they really hate us. And most of these are false flags, if not all of them. I'm not an intelligent agency. I wished I were. I would be the biggest loudmouth. I'd be a candle at both ends, burning very brightly, but shortly. But I would just be, I would love to have been in the intelligence agencies, walk out in the light of day, proclaim the honest to God's truth, and probably be mowed down. But having said all of that, we've spent $5 trillion in Afghanistan and Iraq, and these guys, they want to do more.
Let me just interject here, John, that all of these people that hate our freedom so bad, isn't it interesting that we've never really had a problem with them at all until 9/11?
Oh, that were done by the Saudis? That's why the Jews were jumping up and down in celebration? Is 3,000 people died on that day?
No, my only point is that, you know, all of us pretty much lived in peace, well, with the exception of the Palestinians who were being genocided by the Israelis. But, you know, other than that, I mean, the Middle Eastern people pretty much left us alone. You know, we had our Bretton Woods Agreement and our OPEC oil agreement, and they had to, you know, take cash for our oil and keep cash reserves, all right? And nobody really bothered anybody, okay, until 9/11, all right?
And but there was a little instance that we were in their nation building, and, well, the die was cast back then. It was in 1953.
Oh, well, hey. You know, I did a show on that as well. I'm not talking about the CIA, you know, those people that they parade on TV movies and show how they're protecting our interests from terrorists. Not, no, the ones that are actually going in there and instigating the divide and conquer, anyway, which the American people know nothing about. But it goes back even before that. In Iran, it goes back 100 years, believe it or not, when the Brits went in there and developed an oil company. They started it back in, I think it was 1908, okay? Go back and listen to the archives of my show last week.
I was just going to say, Charles Pena was the guy I was pulling this information from, and mm-hmm. this is not a kind story to our foreign policy. And guess who this guy? Guess who this guy is? He is a program analyst and senior manager supporting both the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security, and he's former director of defense policy studies at the Cato Institute. And author of Winning the Unwar, A New Strategy for the War on Terrorism. This is not a support piece for our foreign policy. There's a whistleblower, but nobody will pay attention to him, and nobody will interview this guy to tell him his take. After looking at the Middle East and all the stuff that we have done, nobody wants to interview this guy. I wonder why. Hey, I've got Mark Anderson standing by here. Hello, Mark.
How you doing, John? It's been a little while.
Yes, it has. And Michael Herzog is joining us.
Hi. Right. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Bilderberg News, kind of a flash report. Here we go. Headlines. The Bilderberg News is coming down early this year. Thanks to a leak in the Serbian government, of all places. It's probably 90% sure or better that Bilderberg's going to meet in Turin, Italy, June 7 through 10, T-U-R-I-N, Turin, Italy, June 7 through 10. This is probably the earliest that I've broken this story in terms of when they're going to meet and where. And it's at AmericanFreePress.net right now, and also at my one of my blogs. But it's going to be interesting with the Trump administration having had three officials at Bilderberg last year, not counting Senators Tom Cotton and Senator Lindsey Graham. That's a total of five U.S. officials that were at Bilderberg last year in Virginia. But that included H.R. McMaster, just to refresh our memories, and also the Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, and then Nadia Shadlow, a defense advisor. So it'll be interesting to see if the Trump administration sends even more than that or the same contingent to Bilderberg. And, of course, this ties into some of the matters you guys are discussing in roundabout ways, directly and indirectly. But this is kind of breaking news right now. Just learned it last night, basically, and I wanted RBN to be the first radio show in the U.S. to report it.
Well, I appreciate that very much. McMaster's, huh?
He was there last year when they met in Virginia.
And I wonder... Okay. I wonder, Mark, what's going to be the general topic of discussion? Now you saying that people like Lindsey Graham are going to be going again?
Lindsey Graham went 2 years in a row. He's particularly notable, as we know. He's a warmongering neocon.
Yeah.
You know, fire and brimstone kind of 10-mile stare senator. The guy's got a look in his eye that I've never liked. And it's even worse when you meet him in person, because I still have my Capitol Hill credentials. But the thing is that he went to Bilderberg 2016 in Dresden, Germany, and he returned again in 2017 in Virginia. Jim Tucker used to tell me, if you go there more than 1 year in a row, then you're pretty much in. And so Graham is putting both feet into this this globalist power broker network, this kind of corporate Politburo that Bilderberg is, where the private sector and the public sector merge. It kind of merges corporate and government power. That's what it's about. It doesn't really legislate, but it plans and networks and enables the world governors to govern outside the normal realms of the legislative branch
it's the way that they make decisions without our decision makers really being involved, except for select ones like Graham and Cotton. And an interesting side note is that Tom Cotton, who, as you guys know, is the neocon from Arkansas, the senator, he serves one term in the House. He's the youngest senator on record, among the youngest, if not the youngest, to ever serve in the Senate. He knows nothing about intelligence to speak of, and yet he goes to Bilderberg last year, and now he's in the running to head the CIA.
Well, what's wrong with Mr. Pompeo? He's not doing such a crack job, or what?
Well, Pompeo was going to be moved possibly to, I believe it's Homeland Security, or some other position, but Pompeo was being considered for another, I want to say DHS without looking it up, and then possibly Tom Cotton move it over to CIA, and even some of the career intelligence people were squawking a bit and saying, you know, this guy, you know, has he kissed a girl? Well, probably, but he definitely shouldn't have the CIA. You know, he's too green, he's too wet behind the ears, and all the things that would be wrong with that. But this is just some of the developments among many. The Bilderberg Group picked up on the Prime Minister of Syria, Anna Berebic, speaking at the recently completed World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. It just wound up, and they liked what they saw, and they invited her, and the Serbian government announced that probably innocently, and that was the leak that brought out Bilderberg's whereabouts so early this year.
Well, and I think the stage is being set here. Trump had asked for more of a military budget for operations overseas. Didn't exactly earmark it for the Middle East, but we've got Mr. Tillerson giving speeches as to how Syria is going to be handled, that we're going to be putting more troops into Afghanistan. We're going to be setting up bases, permanent-style bases in Syria. And for the life of me, I don't know... Mark, I don't know how that happens. Would we here in the United States accept a foreign military coming into our country uninvited and setting up military bases here? Because essentially that is what has happened in Syria. We got Mr. Tillerson here paving the way, and it looks like he's going to have all the money in which to extend our foreign policy by way of a gun. And I don't see anything good coming out of this. Not with the players that they've got right now. Scares the hell out of me.
I agree. Right in the wake of the State of the Union, I'm watching the State of the Union last night, and I want to refer to Ronald Newman, a member of the Foreign Service, in a minute, that I caught in New York at a live speech in the CBS headquarters for the Foreign Policy Association. But I'm listening to Trump last night, and he's sounding okay in the domestic front, some things that are, you know, reasonably palatable. Secure the border more, you know, better industrial base, question NAFTA, question the trade deals. He goes into foreign policy and foreign assistance and foreign aid, and it's off the rails. It's like, is this the same guy that was speaking a minute ago?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he sounds like he's spitting nails out of the neocon school. You can't trust China. You can't trust Russia. The military isn't large enough. That part is just, I just don't even have words for it.
Yeah.
How is that? How can anyone say that?
Well, that
we need more military spending. Who says that?
Mark,
where does that even come from?
Mark, you and I both know Ron Paul, and we've both had the discussions with him. We have talked to him about a strong military, but unnecessary bases around the world. That he said, look, I'm not against a strong military and modernizing our militaries. I'm not against that at all. I think we should have a strong military. Now, of course, Mr. Paul, like myself and many other millions of Americans, don't want to see the military used the way they have been used, cooking up phony wars or excuses to go blow something up. But I've talked to Ron Paul about this, and he said, look, he said we would have all the money that we would need for modernization, for the military, whatever. He said what we need to do is shut down these bases that we have worldwide. Mark, what was the last count that you had out of how many active military bases that we have around the world?
The last I knew, it was, I want to say, and your partner can correct me if I'm wrong, it's pushing 800, right?
Michael?
No, I don't know. I did do a show the other day on how they built a base on Diego Garcia and how they acquired that island to build the base by kicking 2,000 indigenous off the land and making a deal with Britain, where they used that base to attack both Afghanistan and Iraq. But as far as the actual amount of bases, I don't know, Mark.
I think, Mark, that you are correct. I think it is 800 bases.
I mean, that's a lot. You know, if that was 50 states, that'd be, my math is terrible. I'm going to back out of that one. But I just want to.
That'd be 16 bases in every state.
Thank you, mathematician. Thank you. Hey, but I just wanted to mention that this jarred my memory. I was in New York City back in 2012, and I read where the Foreign Policy Association was hosting Ronald Newman of the Foreign Service, and he had been a assistant ambassador in Afghanistan, and he was speaking of all places in the CBS building, kind of showing the collusion between the big media and the big think tanks and the Foreign Service. He gets up there, though. This guy's fairly honest. He gets up and he announces, and I'm in the back of the room scribbling notes like mad, and this was in 2012. He said, I'm here to tell you we're going to be in Afghanistan at least until 2016, and then he cleared his throat and said, but more like 2024.
Well, I have a question about that. What is the main reason, other than protecting the poppy fields, that we've been in Afghanistan for 17 years, unless that's a strategic locale for the bases they built over there to attack Syria and Iraq and possibly Iran? I don't know. Has anybody got a concrete answer for me on that one?
That's a good point. You know, just because you put a base in a country doesn't mean it's only for that country. Yeah, it could be a post for attacking other countries. You got to have a place to take off and land. But anyway, the handwriting's been on the wall of the CBS, the Foreign Policy Association, the think tank. They quietly published their papers. They've been saying we're going into the 2020s with Afghanistan. They've been saying it at least since 2012. And it doesn't matter who the president is, because the president isn't really altogether in charge, as we know. The Bilderberg Group and the trilaterals, they're more in the long geostrategic decision-making bottleneck, and they're the ones that are really throwing their weight around saying, you know, our way or the highway, and they usually get their way. You know, there are really no sovereign governments left in the proper sense of the word. At least it's greatly diminished. But anyway, this is the latest that's coming down on my end with Bilderberg, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Trump White House does this year compared to last year, is what I'm summarizing here anyway.
Well, and I'm, you know, I was before the program today, Mark. I see what's coming. I think Trump last night, he did not look like the Donald Trump that I was used to seeing, confident. It looked more mechanical and smug than anything else, but I think he was uncomfortable giving his first State of the Union message and knowing most of what was going to come out of his mouth through that speech was a damn lie. I think the man does know better. I think his idea is that I can appease, I can compromise, I can get what I need to get, I can make America, well, at least partially great again, bring back some jobs, bring back some the manufacturing, bring back some wealth into the country. Let's start paying attention and make America great again. Okay, I get all of that. We're never going to make it.
Yeah, that's all good and well. And
We're not going to make anything great again because we're choked with debt. I mean, absolutely, the entire planet is choking with debt. And I think this is, Mark, I want to get your take on this. At Davos, when Trump went to Davos, and I think it was the first time in 15 or 18 years that a president did that, he was almost at rock star status. Because these politicians, even though they're not publicly admitting it, they all know that they're boiling in this cauldron of oil, and the end is nigh. So they wanted to hear what this guy had to say about making some jobs, creating some wealth. Let me get your take after the break here. Hold on.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Won't be out in the morning dew, honey.
Please walk. Waiting for the board op to get out of the little boy's room. We're back. Mark Anderson. Still with us?
Yeah.
Okay, there you are.
Absolutely.
All right. So this is, and I'm looking at this, in Turin, Italy. Isn't it Turin?
Doesn't, yeah, as in the Turin. Shroud of Turin. Shroud of Turin, yes.
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, this Bilderberg meeting, they're always shrouded in mystery, so I guess we're going to have another Shroud of Turin here. Wow.
Damn, you wrote my headline.
Well, if you didn't think about it, I've got a million of them. Just let me know. So, and
very good, sir.
And Mark, I've been asking the question. Now, we know who the players are, but these are just the actors. These are the ones that are doing the roll up my sleeve and doing the dirty work in Washington, D.C. I've heard described the deep state, the deep state, the deep state. Is it not more accurate to call the Council on Foreign Relations or the Bilderberg Group? Is that not a closer representation of the deep state?
Oh, absolutely. The CIA, according to Warwick University British professor Richard Aldrich, the CIA actually financed the first Bilderberg meeting, and that was part of the European movement, which was coming out of World War II. It was the initial steps to consolidate Europe into a super state. what the deep state really does is that it combines existing states into larger entities for purposes of world government. So that way, when people think about their own government, what they don't realize is their own government is being overthrown. It's not just that we have a deep state within our existing government. It's that they're overthrowing our government. They're dissolving it, if they haven't already. And so, you know, they have to do that in kind of a laboratory, geostrategic way, and then merge new things together, new building blocks. Bretton Woods was part of that to lay the groundwork for the new economic order. They call it the rules-based international order, as we all know. That's the word, that's the description they have for it. So if you remember the movie Network with Howard Beale, do you guys remember that movie?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when Ned Beatty got Howard Beale in that room by that long table and told him how it was going to be? Well, that's basically right. He said, there are no democracies. There are no nations. There's just a college of corporations. You remember how he held his hand? And he demanded with utter and total abandon, utter and total aggression, that that's the way it's going to be, that's the way it's always going to be, and it was already, as he was telling Howard Beale, a done deal. Now, that's a little predictive programming in a sense. They're kind of telling the truth there through that movie. It starred William Holden and Dunaway, a lot of us.
And do we remember when Howard Beale's response to the tirade by this individual was? He said, and he was sitting there and he goes, well, why me? Ned Beatty looks at him, because you're on television, you idiot. Hello.
Right. So, I mean, in a slight parody sense, that movie told a little truth there. Came out in the 1970s. It became kind of a retread hit down the road. A lot of us saw it online or saw clips of
Mark,
it.
Mark, you know. Just hang on a second. Roll it, Mike.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beale, and I won't have it! Is that clear? You think you merely stopped a business deal? That is not the case. The Arabs have taken billions of dollars out of this country, and now they must put it back! It is ebb and flow, tidal gravity, it is ecological balance! You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rims, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet. That is the natural order of things today. That is the atomic and subatomic and galactic structure of things today. And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone. Am I getting through to you, Mr. Beale?
Well, I guess that pretty much wraps it up, gentlemen. We can all go home.
Wait a minute.
21-inch screen and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today. What do you think the Russians talk about in their councils of state? Karl Marx? They get out their linear programming charts, statistical decision theories, min-max solutions, and compute the price-cost probabilities of their transactions and investments, just like we do. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies, Mr. Beale. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime. And our children will live, Mr. Beale, to see that perfect world in which there's no war or famine, oppression or brutality. One vast and ecumenical holding company for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock, all necessities provided, all anxieties tranquilized, all boredom amused.
Why me? Because you're on television, you idiot. Wow. Mark, was that the clip you were talking about?
Absolutely, yeah. One vast and ecumenical holding company. I couldn't say it better than that tyrannical fart bag himself. So, I mean, that's in essence where it's headed. It hasn't been happening ever since man crawled out of the slime. I don't believe in evolution anyway. I'm not a Darwinist, but basically, it really took hold with the Bank of England's creation in 1694. If you want, the Federal Reserve was another step. The creation of the Bank of England is really what put the modern system, the likes of which he was talking about, into place. So it's a little over 300 years old in its latest phase. So that's a good benchmark to measure it from.
And he is exactly correct. I have said until I'm blue in the face, you know, even democracy, the founders weren't after building a democracy. It was a constitutionally limited republic. And what the asshats had to do here, Michael and Mark, they had to have the power base of the globalist in order for them to pull this off. And those are the bankers themselves. It is ruled by the shekels and the dollars and the yuans and this, that. It's the whole funny money gambit out there that has been the tool for the destruction of the nations as we know it, with their ideologies to be good guys or bad guys, take your pick. But that is now gone, and it's every government on the face of this planet, rather than rounding up these bankers and doing what must be done, they're allowing them to ride dominion and control country after country after country after country. And say what you will about Donald Trump and the positive stuff that has been done inside this country, I'm telling you right now, I can make his little red hat with the white lettering, Make America Great Again, I can turn that into a universal joke just by saying this. The only way that America is going to be great again is when we have a sound money. End of story.
And a sovereign money, it has to be issued free of debt. It cannot be born as debt. If every dollar created is a dollar of debt to someone else, then you've lost the game. You've handed over the keys to the kingdom. You're done.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me squeeze a couple calls in here. Jim in Kansas. Hello, Jim.
I've heard on talk radio that the reason we're in Afghanistan, other than the opium, is the trace elements or rare earth minerals in those hills over there.
And
high-tech stuff.
And Jim, let me ask you the obvious question. In the business world, there's something that you want, there's an equal exchange. You've got something that I want, so ergo, we're going to settle and discuss a price for that product. In the real business world that you and I would think of as business, that's how things are conducted. You got something, I need it, I'll pay you for it, you're satisfied, I'm satisfied. Both parties honoring the contract, and away we go. But that's not how it's done.
Right, they just shoot them now.
That's right, that's exactly right.
Yeah, okay, I'll hang up, let somebody else talk. Bye.
Thank you, Jim, I appreciate your call. Joe in, is this Idaho? Joe in Idaho. Hello, yeah. Joe.
Yes. Здравствуйте. Ivan и Михаил. Меня зовут Joe. Translated as hello, John, and Michael. My name is Joe. You wanted to listen to Russian last time I talked to you, and I hung up before I heard you say that.
Okay.
Я очень благодарю вам, потому что вы еще говорите истинность по интернету. Большое спасибо. Thank you very much, because you still speak truth by way of the internet. I stand at a little bit of odds with probably most, if not all, Americans. The questions that were brought up at the first of this show had to do with employment, stock market, economy. I think you're talking about the only way we can be whole again is if we have a sound monetary system. But I think I have to suggest that there are other things, and that the only way this country is going to be great again is for the people to change, repent, choose your word, whatever fits, that we send our children off and to be educated by this business corporate control grid, and then we scatter them all over while we feed them toxic foods. And if we're lucky, we can get a reverse mortgage to give these bankers our home so they can manage the illnesses to death that they gave us, while our children are off paying attention to something else. We chase money in this country. That's what we do. I think about, what does it take to live and be happy? Well, we need a roof over our heads. We need good food to eat. We need some clothing. And we need those that we love around us.
Yep.
The American people have basically shunned all of that so they can go chase money and pay parasites for every month for all of their lives, while they pay for permission to get married and to transport themselves and to build a place to live, if they're lucky to be able to do that, and build a tank to poop in, and to put your boat in the creek, because we're so free we get to have a boat. And that's how we live. So my suggestion is that we start thinking about the things that are most important. You know, since Putin became president, over 25,000 new churches have been built. He has been giving awards to mothers who raise their children. He's been offering free land to people of Russian blood. He says, if you minorities want Sharia law, go to a country where that's the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
We don't cater to minorities here. They need us. We don't need them. So even if they scream discrimination, I think that here we need to start thinking about what's important, maybe getting back to growing our healthy food, keeping our children at home, quit paying attention to chasing money, and start bartering the things we produce. And if we need a currency to trade gold and whatever, the first section of the Constitution says that Congress shall create the money and create the coin and regulate the value thereof, not some central bank, which has been from the very start of this country, when Alexander Hamilton wanted the first central bank, the U.S. Bank, the Bank of the United States. So I think that if we want to get something that we envision America as having been, we need to start thinking about an inheritance for our children and eating healthy foods. And to get back what you were saying about Trump's speech, he mentioned none of these things. George Washington warned of the baneful effects of political parties. When Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were arguing and made the first political parties, he said they would control the agenda of the nation. There is not anyone that we choose to be president. Some political party, some Bilderberger chooses it.
That's right. And
Joe, people who talk about whether they're going to go to war with Russia while they amass troops on Russians' borders and build a huge military base.
Joe, look, I've got two talk show hosts and I've got a guest. And I'm not going to argue with anything that you just said. I would just ask that you call me back another day, because everything of what you just said was 100% accurate.
And thank you for your time, and thank you for the truth.
Thank you for your call.
До свидания.
One more here, and we've got to cut Mark Anderson loose. Fred in Iowa. Hello, Fred.
Howdy, gentlemen.
Hi.
One hell of a great show. You're not there yet, but you're getting mighty close. Now, for my briefity, and I'm going to be brief, because I've learned I have to operate that way. But Putin is one of them, too. He's one of the gang, because he passed the law. I don't know if it got passed. But home churches can only proselyze to known members. You cannot talk to any other faith. So what that means in Russia, that there is only going to be one church and one faith. And to reiterate again, this is one hell of a show. I thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Have a good
Thank you, Fred. All right. Mark Anderson, I appreciate you coming up and giving us the skinny here on the Bilderberg, and I especially appreciate and liked your answer on who the deep state really is.
No problem, John. Yeah, this will be Bilderberg's fourth time in Italy. The last time was 2004 in Stresa when Tucker was still covering it. I took over for him at AFP covering Bilderberg, and I'm happy to report it, and your listeners are hearing it here first among American radio. And again, Turin, Italy, June 7th through 10 this year, 2018. And I'll say good night, you guys. Good show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Nice meeting you, Mark.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep. See ya.
Michael, I...
How do you shift gears out of that?
You find the neutral gate, you let it idle down for a second.
Throw the clutch in, right?
Yeah, push the clutch in, engage in a gear, and hope to hell you don't strip the whole transmission out.
Okay. Well, I think we probably should do that then. And, John, you might want to kind of let the audience know what's going on in that slot, Tom Lockenvira's slot, before we get into any elaborate detail over it.
Yeah. Well, and Tom Lockenvira, of course, is on probation for a crime he didn't commit. Felon in possession, has to do with Malheur. It was a setup. The person that he was bunking with was actually a confidential informant for the FBI. Let's just start from that basis. All right. Bringing up the present day, he has spent a year in jail. He has jumped through every hoop that has been presented to him, letting him crawl up his backside with a microscope, testing for drugs, alcohol, you name it. He has complied with every one of their wishes. He has a probation officer that is extremely liberal. He was up in front of a judge that was the epitome of being a liberal. And to Tom's credit, he has bit his tongue. I'm surprised he can still talk. And he jumped through every one of their hoops. Now, he already had a thing set up in Arizona for a place, and he is going to be in, because this guy knows building trade. I can attest to that because he reinstalled the tile in my bathroom, and you couldn't tell the repair from the previous contractor that installed it. The guy knows his stuff in the building industry. Here was a man in Arizona that's going to build his own house. He invited Tom Lockenvira down not only to help consult with the building of his house, but he was going to install a studio that Tom, for the duration of his probation that he was supposed to be on, because you have to be approved by the federales as to where you're going to park your butt post-jail. Now, the interesting thing about this was, Michael, that his lawyer is on vacation for a couple of weeks. His probation officer is on vacation for a couple of weeks. And it takes about 45 days for them to vet and inspect and detect for the place that he requested he be allowed to go live. Well, that's been pretty much 86th by these creatures. But he's got to start the process apparently all over again. And this lawyer that he has, and I hasten to use that term lawyer, but he's more concerned about his 2 weeks vacation than he was Tom Lacovara just laying in wasteland. By the way, he has lost his privilege of doing his show from the federal facility because somebody had lodged a complaint against him, okay? And, of course, they had to make a ruling on this. They had to check their rules and regulations. And, oh, he can't do a live show from that federal facility, Mike, because they're worried about him compromising the sanctity and security of the
facility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to interject here. Folks, I know you don't know, the reason they rejected this gentleman, because he's building a home on a property he paid cash for just about 20 miles from me, and they wanted to know where this guy got the money, which is none of their business. He doesn't even live in Oregon. But also they rejected it because until the man's house is built, he has a travel trailer out there, and they're saying, well, that's a transient thing. You could move it, so we're not approving it. So I went to the length of giving him my information and turning it over to him to give to the probation officer, so because I told him he could come down here. And his thought process is really the political thing behind this is they don't want him in Arizona at all because of the Bundys. Now, with that,
Well, you mean, wait a minute. Are we talking about the people that did nothing wrong, that the prosecutors screwed the case up so bad that they should have been in jail? And you notice that it was not mentioned that their bar card should be lifted for actually committing felonies in front of a federal judge. Mm-hmm. You're talking about...
I'm talking about those people.
Yeah.
So as we know, folks, you can handle the truth at RBN, and you're the most awake audience of any place in the world. And they know it. They're familiar with RBN, and they're doing everything that they can do to stop him. I have given him my information. He attempted to turn it over to the probation officer, who will not return his calls. And also, so what I'm doing, I talked to him today. I talked to Tom Lacovere today.
Okay.
Back in 2008, I put the word out on the airwaves to have a place of refuge when I left RBN back then because I had no place to go. And I had a patriot that offered me solace and sanctuary in his residence. So what I'm going to ask folks anywhere in the nation is if we have any listeners out there that are clean, not felons, not, you know, they don't have a criminal record or whatever, and I'm not saying that this will even happen because I'm still behind the scenes working on getting him out of there, if anybody would be open to and have the space for, and by the way, it has to be a space that cannot be moved, to at least temporarily move him, because we also have another problem with his medical care. He cannot get any medical care because the care that he has is in another state, and you have to transfer that care over. So he's kind of biding his time, you know, not knowing where he's going to go, and when he gets there, he has to transfer his medical health care over to whatever state he's in. So we've got that issue as well on hand. And what I'm trying to do is, matter of fact, John, when we talked about this earlier, he gave me the number of the United States probation officer up there, of which I guess either one of us is going to call tomorrow, maybe a conference call, I don't know, and see if we can do something to speed this up, because obviously this probation officer that he has is a liberal. She's a novice. She's brand new. She's overstepping her bounds. She is doing everything more than by the book to keep him there. So for those of you who do listen to Tom Lacovere's program, if you want him to stay up on the air and get back as soon as possible, we need to move on this. So if there's anybody out there that has a residence that you think you can temporarily allow him to stay if we can get him out, and is clean, is not a felon, has a place where he could broadcast from, let us know at the network at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Again, that's 800-724-2719, extension 3. Back to you, John.
And I was just going to say, you know, let's lay out the parameters here, because these guys are being, how should I say, overzealous in their choice of where this guy goes. I mean, I told Tom flat out, I said, Tom, the reason I haven't asked you back is because I don't need the federales rooting through my underwear drawer in my house or this network. And he says, that's why I have not asked you. He said, I completely understand that. Now, a perfect scenario, a good Christian family out there, all right? You're solid. You don't have any criminal records. You don't have anything that they would uncover by their cursory inspection. If there's anybody out there, and this is a temporary situation, and we'll underscore temporary, that we can get him the hell out of that facility. You know, aside, minimally here, Mike, with losing a talk show host, because I'm I'm not a Vatican assassin here, okay? I need Tom back in that spot from 9 to 11. I need this guy walking and talking. Everything else has been undercut. Everything else that has supported this grand criminal activity, well, the Bundys are not guilty, folks. And neither was Tom Lacovara in this heinous crime of a felon in possession of a weapon.
It's the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
No calls yet. I don't think people want to take on Tom Lacovara because I don't know why, Michael.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, as I said, I put the information in. As far as I'm concerned, he's already warned me they'll come through my house. They'll be looking for whatever. And they're also, the probation officer will interview me via the telephone and so forth, which I don't care.
Well, don't we have an ex-judge and a wife? Don't we have a good Christian family out there? How about an ex-police officer and his wife? Something that somebody was in their system, and if they just said who they were, maybe there wouldn't be inspection of the home and so on and so forth. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. That's possible, but I know the hoops that basically what he told me is that he expects them to turn me down for two reasons. First of all, I live in a mobile home. It's not movable. I mean, I suppose it could be, but it'd take a lot of work. But also the fact that I've only lived here for 2 months could be an issue. So, you know, I don't know. He's got that in the works, but he's saying it doesn't look real bright. So I told him today, after discussing it with you, that you and I came up with the idea, and we said we'd throw it out here just to see if we got any traction on it, just for a plan B or plan C, if you will. Because, you know, folks, John's losing a good talk show host over this, a knowledgeable guy. And he's in a position that he shouldn't be in to begin with.
Right.
Yeah. So you know, I've done what I can do, and John, I know you held that slot open for him for how long? You know,
quite a while.
Yeah.
And it's a prime spot. And a talk show host that it's the Vatican's fault, and I have gritted my teeth and I've kept my mouth shut, and I've held that spot open, hoping Tom could see his way through. I mean, time served. It should have already been a done deal. Get out of Oregon. We don't want you here. Go. You'd think that they'd do anything possible to get him the hell out of their wonderfully socialistic state, but evidently that's not the case.
How long is he on probation? Do you know, John?
I don't know. I do not know.
I've never posed that question to him. I suppose I should ask him that, or you should.
Mike just told me here, the board op says, evidently Tom Lacovara doesn't know either.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Isn't
it? Yeah, well, we know who we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the same mindset of people who put the Bundys and the Hammonds through hell for how long? Okay. And, of course, you know, just by virtue of the fact that he is who he is and we are who we are, they're not cutting any slack.
You know, so. Michael, and I was just thinking about that today. You know, if the Bundys were not stand-up Americans that had faith and said, you know what, we're not taking any deals. We're going to fight this thing until we draw our last breath, that there's no fight left in us. They did not back down. And folks, the totality of what happened out there at Malheur, what happened to the Bundys prior to this, was nothing short of criminal on the government's part. And I'm still hearing Fox News regarding all those millions of dollars in grazing fees and knowing full well that was an absolute lie. It still continues. Michael, we're out of time here. I appreciate you coming up after doing 2 hours today. Appreciate you coming up with me this evening. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, John. Anytime. All right. Talk to you later.
All right, bye. Folks. I'll save this for tomorrow, only to say we're flat broke here and the bills are rolling in again. Please don't abandon us, and we won't abandon you. We'll be here every single day for you.
We must take America back. We must take America back.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on, and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.